It's time to walk on.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
The Potakin Center for Contemplative Walking is breaking new trails in the exploration of walking as a contemplative activity. Our Walk On podcasts introduce the people who are leading this exploration and the people who are doing contemplative walking themselves.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
Welcome to another Walk On podcast. These two episodes come from a retreat workshop hosted by the Potakin Center in April of 2017. A group of seven walkers gathered for a day to learn about and to practice the most popular of all contemplative walking practices, pilgrimage. As the day concluded, we asked them to share why they walk, where they prefer to walk, and what contemplative walking means to them. You may find the audio quality of this recording varies with people's location in the room and the quality of their voices. We hope you find their words more than make up for this.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
We want to know what walking means to you. We're also curious about how, if at all, walking relates to your spirituality. So we're less interested in walking for fitness or as a means of getting from one place to the other. We use the term contemplative walking, but what that really means is how does walking contribute to your inner life and sense of purpose? We'd like you to please describe your experience with walking, just generally. So when did you first start walking? How did it all begin? So not your first steps as an infant.
Why, I remember.
Was it intentional, or did it sort of just arise for you?
My experience initially arose by accident, but probably 40 years ago, developed into intentional walking because I get so much out of it, because that inner space is nurtured when you turn off other distractions. Turn down the voice of people around you. Mm-hmm. So it's been a part of my life and hopefully will continue to be.
So you walk alone?
I walk alone a lot, right? But not on pilgrimage. I walk every day, mm-hmm. and go out for an hour, and it's that place of calm, right? That place to center. I ideally bring that sanctuary back into my life, my normal life, when I return. And that's sort of where I'm at this stage of life. I now recognize that I want to have that centeredness that I gain when I'm alone with my thoughts and with myself, but to be able to bring that calmness and everything.
So 4 years ago, did you intentionally want to cross that doorstep or set out to go?
No, it was just probably for the activity of it. The exercise would be what initially brought it to me. But I soon found with life's challenges, walking, it clears the head and it enables me to find answers. So that being alone with my own thoughts was enriching, and you get to the place that you become addicted to it. I needed it, and I still need it.
I was always a runner, lots of long distance running, and then I had a massive stroke, mm-hmm. and I had to learn to walk again, and that was when I started walking.
Wow.
Because it was very mindful, especially where's my right foot, to really pay attention to that. And then I became incredibly appreciative of the fact that I can walk, and I'm just not going to stop.
Well, thinking of walking, I too ran. I used to run when I was an adolescent in high school. I'd run long distances. I did some competitive running. I don't run anymore. But for me, walking is a way to get out into the world and And sometimes just begin to rethink, or maybe not think, about things that we're surrounded by, or that I'm sometimes confronted by, or I feel oppressed by at times, whether it's responsibilities or having to do things or meet objectives. So walking, it's a place to go. It can also be something that you go on as far as a pilgrimage type of walk, which I've done some of that, and I've learned a lot about myself and as well as other people. It's a way to be in the world that I think is pretty healthy.
Has anyone's experience with walking changed over time?
I'd say that for many years my walking had a purpose, and it was more to get from A to B. And I did a fair bit of walking, but it was always with that intention, going somewhere. Now it's much more to get to a space within myself rather than an exterior one.
I pay more attention now to the weather and the seasons and the smells. I have a really good sense of smell, so I smell mud, I smell farmyards. Like today's walk, I smell cigarette smoke, I smell a dryer exhaust, of course exhaust from vehicles, mud, it enriches the entire hike.
So has anyone experienced any very significant or notable moments from an experience that they've had walking?
Mostly my walking experience is in nature. That's my main purpose, is to escape the confines of the human world and to expand my awareness of creation. So on at least 3 or 4 occasions when I was very upset about something, I'd be out walking, and on every occasion it was a bird I had never seen before or since, that seemed to have been, once it was a great gray owl, once it was a ladderback woodpecker, and it significantly changed and altered my state of mind. Not that I was, I was seeking something, I guess, the need of some answer, because I put myself in that environment, but it's still very memorable that it happened while I was walking by myself in that particular state of mind, and that state of mind was altered by something that happened on that walk. So I do associate walking with special time.
Yeah, I can relate. I find it interesting that when I go out for a walk on my own, the things that I become aware of, the types of birds, things around the environment, on the trails, things that I wouldn't maybe otherwise notice with other people or driving elsewhere, so. Mm-hmm.
I've had a particularly interesting on this walk today, because it's been particularly busy for me in my life. Opportunities are opening up, and I'm having to learn tons. And about the last month, I discovered that, you know, I'm studying so much, but I discovered that I have some great programs that I want to hear on my iPod. And then I discovered that I have an iPhone, and then as I'm walking and I'm listening to courses, that I can speak into the phone the points that I want to remember. And then it saves me a lot of time when I go back and transcribe my work onto the computer. What I found, and I've been doing that solidly for the last couple of months, and today was so nice to just be there, you know, mm-hmm. just, and it was kind of a metaphor, because it's a passage, the place that I come to, and I'm like Judy, I walk in nature, that I come to when walking in nature, that place of calm, and that place of knowing that that all is well, and that sanctuary that now what's happening in my life is the coming together of all my experience, all my knowledge, and all my wisdom, and it's the time for me to go back and be from that place of that sanctuary
Sometimes I do what I just call it bushwalking. Mike says it, my husband says it's bushwhacking. But I'll just head off with a compass.
Sort of
expect I'm going to end up on some concession road, and I just keep going. And you don't know what you're going to encounter. You run across ponds that you didn't know were there. And one time I came upon this large boulder, and I thought, I can climb this. And so I started climbing it, and I was really working hard at it. And just as I crested it, I looked up face to face, 2 feet away from a wolf.
Wonder.
And I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, aren't you a fine specimen? And I just still remember those eyes were so, so special. And then he turned and just ambled off, turned and looked back once, and kept on going.
There were times when I did walking for problem solving and analysis and thinking. But the more that I do it as a mindfulness activity, just to attend to what's going on, the more I find that I see things. You know, I'll see a frog, or I'll hear or see an animal in the bush that I might not have noticed otherwise. I think it's made my senses more acute, and so that in turn gives me more reason to, that becomes a reason to go out.
Because you might miss something if
you
don't.
Yeah, you know, a flower, but sometimes it's an animal. Or
sometimes it's a bird's nest that's going through its phases, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to see the trails and tracks of animals that have been out walking. They're going on their pilgrimages. and have stories to tell.
Has anyone experienced any challenges with walking?
Like your story about the walking through the bush, climbing, confronting animals, that kind of stuff, yeah. And I think inner challenges too, where you set off for a particular distance or a particular location, and it becomes hard, becomes tiring. You know, learning to deal with that, learning to pace yourself.
When we walked the Camino, we saw quite a few people that were having problems with their feet, and of course that's quite common. We were fortunate for the most part, but as a result of that, watching other people, what I found really interesting and quite soothing in a human sense was that people would tend to each other. They would help each other, and I remember a few times being quite moved, feeling for others, watching people do this. It's quite reassuring as to the humanity of it. So there was that kind of a challenge. And the other time I felt something that was quite, it was a very, very deep, a somewhat dark feeling. I remember leaving a little hilltop town very early in the morning. It was dark, and we were walking on what was actually an old Roman way, a Roman road that was quite narrow and somewhat cobbled with the center line down the middle, and it was dark. We had our headlamps, but at some point I thought, if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen. This is when it's going to be. But then with daylight coming and at some point seeing someone ahead of us, it all just passed. But I had a feeling of, and I'm sure over centuries in a place like that, probably bad things did happen with highway robbers. And
I do lots of walking in the dark. Anybody else do that?
Yeah, I have.
No streetlights where you are.
Oh, no. I like the natural light. No.
Especially in the wintertime. There's nothing like
you can see
a nighttime walk. If it's a full moon on a winter night, you might just as well have spotlights everywhere.
Yes, head off on snowshoes. And one hot summer night, a carload of young men handed me a beer. Took it.
Of course.
I took it. I was at the halfway point.
Yes.
I can make it home on this. I used to stash bottles of water along my route and then head off, but having the beer with it. And they were so rowdy.
Funny how fear can grab your ear. consciousness at times. There was one year a cougar had been sighted in our area, very close to our home. And of course, I know they like the bush, so I'm always in the bush by myself. And so I went and I studied cougars, and of course there I'm on their meal list. So my mind went crazy. I started making sure I had a hood, because I didn't want to stop walking where I walked, because I didn't want to have fear grip me. But it gripped me enough that I went to Canadian Tire and I bought a knife and I practiced moves that I can get the cougar off my.
Would you like to come to my weapons?
I'll say it
to you. Yeah. I'd probably kill myself, right? And eventually I went with pepper spray. But it affected how fear, affected that walk. And I've overcome, I'm back in the bush all the time now. But for that year, one year, it really affected my psyche.
I have a favorite trail up near my cottage. Not even a trail, it's like a road. And I saw a bear a year and a half ago walking. And I'm still very fearful every time I walk. I do it, but maybe I need to learn these moves.
Be mindful of where there are large pieces of wood that you can pick up and look big.
Okay, good to know.
When I visited Sri Lanka years ago, there's a site called Sigiriya, which is in the south, and it's you can't really call it a mountain. It's just like a hill. It's like a 25-story high-rise in the middle of a plain, of just this solid rock. On top is a fortress, and down below is a kind of garden. And probably, 1,500 years ago, there was a community there, and they built a stone stairway to get up to the top of it. Stone stairway being a very, very loose way of describing it. It was just sort of grooves in the stone. And until recently, that's how people would get up there. But then, as tourism became an issue, they put a rope guard that you could hang on to. But like everything else in the third world, it probably was great for the first 2 years, and then nobody did anything to maintain it. So you'd be just as dangerous to hang on to the rope as anything. I don't like heights very much, and that talk about facing a personal challenge. I wanted to get up there more than anything. And it just scared the hell out of me every step of the way up, and just as much coming down.
One more comment just on challenges with walking. I don't think I realized my own until today when we stopped at the church and Ray mentioned that we're now doing the reintegration. I find, like, even when we came back and we were having lunch, I was still so quiet. Like, it takes me a while, I think, to sort of come back to not walking alone or in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for so long a challenge for me was I didn't necessarily feel like I had many people who understood what walking was starting to mean for me. So today when we were all walking in a line, there were so many moments where I'm like, oh, I feel there's some kind of momentum or connectivity about what we're all doing right now.
Mm.
But I think that was a challenge for me for the last several years. I think a lot of my friends are like, why are you going on a 2-hour walk alone every day? Maybe not so much a challenge anymore.
And I think it takes time to discover the value of silence. And I think what you were saying, Dorothy, about it taking a while for you to get to really value that time and to keep it set aside for yourself and to not having to fill it that time with something else.
I like to do a 40-minute meditation after my longer walks. And sometimes I come in the house and it's kind of alive with people talking. Or my husband is, oh, thank gosh you're back. I'll be back in 40 minutes. And I go off in the corner. I put on headphones, but I don't play anything. Everybody leaves you alone if you're sitting there. They think you're listening to music and your eyes are closed and you're blissed out.
Yeah. You've been listening to another Walk On podcast presented by the Podokan Center for Contemplative Walking. Check out our growing library of videos and podcasts, enjoy our Tumblr photo essays, and visit our Facebook page. All those links can be found on our website at podokan.com. If you have a walking story to share, let us know. We'd love to hear about your experience. I'm Enan Ray Parcello. Thanks for listening, and walk on.